I think that this series we're doing, Making Room, I think it's perfectly time for us as a church. It's perfectly time in this season as we're expecting God and believing God for greater things. And here's why I think it's perfect, because I'll tell you something about me and something I've recognized, that I can often limit the God I believe to be unlimited, and I think we as Christians, we can often limit the God we believe to be unlimited. Isn't that strange? But it happens. And I think it's easiest to see us doing that when we are facing situations that seem impossible. When we recognize situations and circumstances where we can't see the solution, where we can't understand things, we can't find how to get around it. Many times we face those impossibilities, and instead of turning towards the God we believe to be unlimited, we can, by our actions and our attitudes, actually turn away from God. And again, this isn't just for people who don't believe Jesus is Lord, but I think this happens in the church. And I know for sure I do it, that sometimes my actions limit the God I believe to be unlimited. And here's what I was thinking. At the beginning of this series, Pastor Sean, he preached about the story of the five loaves and two fish that Jesus multiplied to feed 5,000 people. And as he was talking about that, it just hit me. That story would be completely different if I were there. I mean, that story would have a completely different ending if I were in that scenario, if I were one of those disciples, if Jesus had handed me one of those loaves and said, Brandon, go feed these people. And, you know, we know the story. Sean did a great job preaching about how they gave it back to Jesus. I don't know what to do, Jesus, but here's what I would have done. See, I would have taken my loaf, and Jesus would have said, go feed those people, and I would have said, sure, okay. And I'd start counting, 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 100, 1,000, 5,000 people, five loaves, that's easy math, that's 1,000 people a loaf. I can do that. And so then after I'd figure that out, I'd make sure I bought a loaf of bread that is conveniently sliced into 24 slices, and I'd break out my phone, and I'd do the math, and I'd figure out that I need 42 portions per slice to feed 1,000 people. Are you following me? All the engineers are thinking this is brilliant. And so I'd need 42 slices. So what I'd do is I'd get out my phone and I'd Google, how big is a size of bread anyway? You know, actually, that's a pretty popular search. I don't know if you've done it, but I did it this week. And I figured out that bread is a 4 by 4, 4 inches by 4 inches, each slice. And that really works out well, because if I bring out my calculator app, and I won't do it now because I did it earlier, what I'll figure out is to get 42 portions, I need to cut my bread in pieces. That's 5/16. I am accounting for the width of my tool, by the way. All right? By, hold on, 5/16 by 1/2. Good. And I'd get out my Cornerstone branded napkin, and I'd walk to a neighbor, and I'd say, hey, Jesus wanted to let you know he cares about you. But before I'd leave, I'd say, hey, can I take a picture? I want to post this on Facebook. Making room. We're making room. And I'd feed 1,000 people that way, and Jesus would be breaking bread and multiplying and doing miracles, and I'm doing long division in my head in the corner, right? I'm, okay, let's see, how can I do, and you know, that's funny, right? That's funny to us only for one reason, because we know a greater end to the story, right? We saw a story that included Jesus, that included an unlimited God, and it made room for God to prove that he's unlimited. But often as Christians, and often in my life, I can limit the God I believe to be unlimited. Now, I wanted to make sure no one left without a piece of bread, or at least an image of it. So on the corner of your sermon notes, in that top right corner, that little box, that's how big your slice of bread would have been. I'm telling you, man, God can provide all your needs, right? As Christians, we can often limit the God we believe to be unlimited. And I think the reason that we can do that, and I think the reason when I think about that story and I put myself in that place, again, it's not just for people who don't believe Jesus is Lord. I think it happens to us. Happens to Christians who know. Don't you agree? Don't you think that sometimes we can miss the miracles of God because we just fail to make room for them? It's not that God isn't working miracles, but it's my approach and the way I do things and the way I approach opportunities. You know, I see it as taking responsibility. God, you gave me 1,000 people to feed with a loaf. That was my responsibility. I see it as an excellent demonstration of administrative leadership, and I'd put it on my resume. I fed 1,000 people with one loaf. Did you do that? No. But I think we fail, and we sometimes miss the miracles of God because we fail to make room for them. And we fail to see the fullness of who God is because we fail to make room for Him. I want to say something that sounds a little obvious, I'll say. It's not going to break your mind. It's not going to be out of the norm. But just think about this. Because when I fail to make room for God, it's not that I'm limiting God, but I'm really limiting my ability to know Him. So I can't change God. It's not that God changes. It's not that my actions change who God is, but my actions do change what I know about God. And my actions and my attitudes and my behaviors, they can limit my ability to know the God that I believe to be unlimited. You agree? Don't we do this sometimes? And the good news is we're not the first people to struggle with this. I mean, every generation, I think, that's walked in faith with God, they've wrestled with this tension. They've wrestled with this ability to believe in the God that is unlimited and live like they believe in the God that's unlimited. Every generation, the good news is that we're not alone. We're not the first people to mess with that. The great news is that the Bible is filled with stories where God broke through. And for those who would limit God, limit their ability to know God, God would break through. And sometimes God did things that were absolutely supernatural to break through and to show them, hey, there's a different way you can respond in those moments. And I want to look at that. If you'll turn your Bibles to Zechariah 2, that's where we're going to go. And I want to talk to you a little bit about this passage in Zechariah. Zechariah, he was a prophet. In other words, he was really just a man who heard God's word for the people. And Zechariah was a man, he lived in a time when ancient Israel was a devastated nation. It was a devastated and anxious, anxiety-filled people and culture. What happened was they had been slaves for 70 years in a kingdom, and they were scattered around. And at the time that Zechariah came and began speaking to the people, they had been set free from that nation of being slaves. 2 generations of their family were slaves, but they had been set free when Zechariah came on the scene. And they had returned to Jerusalem, but the problem was that 70 years ago, Jerusalem was burned and turned into rubble. Second Chronicles tells us every building of importance was torn down. The temple of God was burned to the ground. And when these people of God, when the Israelites returned to this city, it was overgrown and it was in ruins and it was in rubble. And they gathered together, they pulled their resources, they established leadership, a guy named Zerubbabel who was a governor, a guy named Joshua was a priest, and they decided to make a plan to start it. They started by building some foundations, getting some things going, but what happened was internal fears and external opposition came, and building ceased for 16 years. 16 years. Just think about 16 years. In 16 years, I'll be pushing 50. Which is like the new 20. I don't know what the 30 new 32 is. Like 12, I guess? Okay, so we're... In 16 years, my 6-year-old will be 24, and I'll probably be emptying a wedding fund I haven't even started. Or think 16 years back in your life. 16 years ago, I had just decided to let go of a bowl cut. You guys remember that? Yeah. Everyone else decided to let go of it a few years before me, but I just wrote it. 16 years ago. But seriously, think about what this meant to the people. Put yourself in this story. You know, 9/11 happened 15 years ago. Imagine if Ground Zero in New York City was still rubble. What would that do to the city of New York? What kind of environment? What if the rebuilding of the Pentagon never happened? What would that say to us as a nation about our security? Can you imagine the anxiety that we didn't feel safe enough, we didn't feel secure enough, we could rebuild? There was no way. Building had stopped. We had internal fears, but we had external opposition. It seemed like an impossible goal. 16 years. What we experienced on 9/11 was just a fraction of the atrocities and the devastation that this people knew when they returned to Jerusalem and saw their entire capital city, an entire culture and nation broken down, not just in the rubble that's physical, but in the rubble. The government was rubble. The religious systems were rubble. The culture was rubble. There was nothing. They had to rebuild everything from scratch. And for 16 years, they couldn't do anything. And Zechariah comes to this people, anxious-filled, doubt-filled, paralyzed in their rubble, paralyzed in the ruins. They were paralyzed, and Zechariah comes, and God gives Zechariah a dream that really is to wake the people up, to snap them out of the way that they were living. And it's a dream, and I think whenever we look at Old Testament prophecies, we've got to see it as this, that God kind of steps in these moments and shows them something that they weren't seeing before. It's like God holds up a megaphone to their ears and says, hey, I want to show you an opportunity before you miss it. And that's my prayer for us this morning as we look at Zechariah 2, that we would see and hear the word of the Lord and not miss the opportunity it's given us. So let's look at verse 1. This is Zechariah's vision. This is his dream, and this is what he shares with the people of Israel. He says, then I looked up, and there before me was a man with a measuring line. It was a surveyor's tool. It was like a tape measure, but it was 100 foot. You've seen them, the reels, and maybe you haven't, but they're out there. There's a man with a measuring line in his hand. And I asked that man, where are you going? And he said, I'm going to measure Jerusalem to find out how wide and how long it is. This man, he was probably doing the very thing he would do normally in everyday life. He was going out to the boundaries, and he was trying to figure out the walls, how wide and how long the city was. He was going out there to try to figure out and to try to measure out how to get this project started, what materials were needed, how do we plan, how do we get this thing going, how can we figure out how to move forward, which to me sounded really logical. But then here's what happens in this vision that kind of turns the corner. Another angel came to meet the angel who was speaking to me. This is Zechariah says, speaking, and he says, and this is what that angel said, run and tell that young man, Jerusalem will be a city without walls because of the great number of people and the animals in it. Now, I know you and I, we don't measure the prosperity of a city by the pets per capita, right? But that was a crazy thought to them because animals weren't just pets. Animals were provision. Animals were for animals to be running wild in a city without walls meant the city was safe. There's a lot that the people of Israel, when they heard that word, it would have just blown their minds. Are you kidding me? We're in a city of rebels. I mean, Chronicles talks about there were lions who would just come in and ravage the city. And you're saying that this would be different? That God, that Jerusalem's going to be a city without walls? That doesn't make any sense. But it was an important word. And I can hear the angel speaking to this man and saying, look, man, your rope's too small. You're trying to measure the city and measure something that God's determined to be unlimited. Your rope's too small. Your measuring line is limited. Maybe what God wants to do, you weren't supposed to measure out. And maybe what God wants to do, you weren't supposed to be the one to figure it out. This is about a city without walls. And he goes on to explain this in verse 11. It says that many nations will be joined to the Lord. This, we get this, right? Because we have the New Testament. We understand the gospel. Remember, this is ancient Israel. They didn't have a concept of that. They knew a Messiah would come, but they didn't know God's whole design, his whole purpose was that many nations would be joined to the Lord in that day, and that they would become my people, and I would become their God, is what it says. That's what was on God's heart. See, God never called them back to the city so that they could rebuild the past. God didn't call them back to the city. It was never about a dream of a physical, literal Jerusalem in God's eyes. It was always about God being seen by the whole world. Look at verse 5. It says, I myself will be a wall of fire around it, around the city, declares the Lord, and I will be its glory within. God says, I'll be that wall. I'll be that one that is seen. I'll restore a city to the dimension of wholeness that you could never, ever measure or achieve on your own. What I want to do is unimaginable to you. And maybe it's not supposed to be measured and figured out by the measuring line you're using, which is in itself limited. God wanted to be this wall of fire within and this burning fire of glory, the wall of fire surrounding and the burning glory, fire of glory inside, because he wanted everyone, whether they were from the outside looking in or from the inside looking out, everyone would see God in the midst. To the people who had faced 16 years of rubble, this doesn't sound very practical, right? It doesn't sound like a practical step, a how-to. How do I get out of this? I need a measuring line. But God gives them this. And then this is what he says in verse 10. This is really the call. For the people who are in the city, for the people who have returned, he makes this call in verse 10. And I love it. It says this. So shout and be glad, daughter of Zion. Daughter of Zion, I mean, that's a word that God used in the Old Testament to speak about his people. It was a word of identity. It's a word of love. It's a word of hope. He says, shout and be glad, for I'm coming. And here's where it says what I wish it didn't say, or I wish it would say something different. I wish it'd say, shout and be glad, for I'm coming, and I'm going to help you rebuild the city. But it doesn't. It doesn't. God had a totally different end in mind. He says, shout and be glad, for I am coming and I will live among you. Now, if you've kind of tuned out for a minute and the Old Testament history wasn't really your thing, I want you to tune back in, because I think this is the next part that's really, really important. That the ending of your life that God has dreamed up, and the ending of my life that God has dreamed up, it may not look and measure out to the happily ever after that we're trying to go for. That your life was not supposed to be about you, and my life was never supposed to be about me. God has been aiming for a different ending the whole time. He has designed your life, every dream and every purpose and every plan for this one end, that he would be seen. And even the impossibilities, even the difficulties and the trials that you face, God wants to use them so that people see he's an unlimited God. Not so that they can see how you figured it out. God wants to use your life to be a burning light, to show others who he is, but two, to show you that from the inside out, the person who's looking from the inside out, to show you who he is, that he is the God who can do the unlimited. And this passage really speaks to those impossible circumstances, those moments where we are sitting in rubble, and we may have been sitting there for 16 years. And so I want to focus us on those moments and those decisions we make in that time. Because here's the truth, that in the middle of the impossible circumstances of your life and my life, comes an invitation. And that invitation is to know more deeply the God that you believe in, the God that I believe in. That in the middle of your most impossible circumstances, there's an invitation. There's an opportunity there. But it's all in how we respond. It's all in how we respond. And again, I just want us to look at this passage, and I'm sure there's other responses. I'm sure you could think of things. But I want us to just hear this word and not miss the invitation and the opportunity from Zechariah. Because the first way we can respond is this. We can respond with our measuring line, right? And our measuring line, it can be practically anything. I mean, it can. Our measuring line can be our own understanding, our own perceptions. It can be our own experiences, our own history. Our measuring line could be the values and the philosophies of this culture. It could be anything. It really isn't about what it is so much as what it represents. What it represents is the way that you and I would normally approach that situation, our typical tendency in that moment to get out that measuring line, begin measuring out and sizing up and trying to figure it out. How am I going to move forward in this? I just don't want to miss this because I think this is a good word. Let me look at this. And if we've cultured ourselves to trust in that measuring line and to our own understanding and perception, our own way of doing things, here's what happens. We can miss the invitation to know the God we believe to be unlimited. And so I want us to make sure we hear this. And I want to make sure that you're listening when this angel says to us, hey, your rope's too small. Your rope's too small. Whatever your measuring line is, your understanding, your perception, it's too small. It's limited. And maybe what God wants to do in this impossible circumstance wasn't meant to be measured and figured out by you. Maybe what God wants out of my life was not to be measured out and figured out. And let me see. I want to be responsible. I want to do the right thing. Maybe it wasn't supposed to be measured out and figured out by you and by me. Maybe God's asking us in these moments when the impossible hits us to let go of our measuring line and respond like this. Respond by making room. Making room for God to be seen. Now, I wish I could tell you exactly, okay, here's the practical ABC for that, for you and for me, but I think it's a personal response. Because really, this story in Zechariah, that was a personal response. That wasn't a formula. Shout and be glad is how Verse 10 goes, that's not a formula for us to follow. It's not like, oh, well, every time just shout and be glad. Okay, woo! All right? That's not the formula. This is really what it was. It was a call for hope and a call for faith. It was a call to lift their eyes above the rubble and look up at a God and begin to see him, to make room to see him. It's exactly how Hebrews 11 defines faith, that faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we don't see. That there's this call when we are invited by impossible circumstances, when we're invited into that moment to lift up our eyes and make room for God to be seen. Make room. To make room. It's because God said it's a change of the heart, it's a change of your attitude. This isn't about a building of a city or rebuilding of a project. It's not about your dreams and your passions and your plans. It's not about what you measure out and how you figure out. This is about what God wants to do so that he can be seen in your life, to your own heart, and to those around you. Don't miss the invitation of the impossible circumstance. Don't miss the opportunity to make room for God to be seen. And I want to say that specifically to those of us who have been in church and we've loved Jesus with all our hearts for a long time. Because I think sometimes we experience a greater distance between what the Bible tells us to believe about God and what we actually believe about God. Those of us who have been walking with God for a long time, I think we experience a greater distance between what the Bible tells us to believe about God and what we actually believe about God. And here's what I know I've done. It's because when those impossible circumstances came, I just broke out my measuring line. And when I did that, I limited my ability for God to be that God. My ability to know Him as that God. And so you and I, we have an incredible capacity to limit the God we believe to be unlimited. And most often, it's easiest to be seen when we face impossible circumstances. Situations that overwhelm us. Situations that come across our path that are bigger than us. And when that happens, what you and I can do is we can pull out our measuring line and begin to trust in, just fill in the blank. Whatever it is you trust in, whatever your measuring line is, you begin to trust in what it's telling you. But hear the word of the Lord. Your measuring line is too small. It's limited. My measuring line is limited. And let's remember that in the midst of impossible circumstances, there's an invitation, and I can respond in such a way that knows the deepness and the fullness of who God is and who I believe God to be. And so here's the thing I want you to do. Here's the thing I want us all to do this week. One simple prayer. If you don't remember anything else, I just want you to remember to do this. I want you to remember to pray this. God, how do I make room for you to be seen? Next time you face an impossible circumstance, I hope that you and I will pause, and before we break out our measuring line, we will just pause and pray that simple prayer. God, how do I make room for you to be seen? Next time that your teenager explodes in your house and you face that impossible conversation, I just want you to pause before you break out that measuring line and say, okay, God, how do I make room for you to be seen? The next time your marriage is at a breaking point, before you break out that measuring line and you begin to tell her all the things that she's always said, and you begin to tell him the laundry list of things that he's never done, before you do that, stop, put down the rope, and ask God, God, how do I make room for you to be seen? I think that is an incredibly important question. I think it's a personal question, and I believe that if you will stop and ask God that, He will answer. Now, here's the pushback to this. And I think some of you might be sitting there in the crowd, and you're saying, you know what, Brandon, this sounds great, and this is all good, but it just sounds a little naive and unresponsible, and honestly, my measuring lines have served me well. And I would agree with you. I love my measuring lines. I love my rulers. I love my charts and my graphs. I love my planning. I love it. That's me. I am the measuring line man. I mean, that is who I am. But here's the challenge with that. Because we look at that and we say, man, my measuring lines do well. I mean, that sounds like faith ungrounded in reality. And the challenge to that is, whose reality? Whose perception? My perception? My measuring line, my perception's limited. My measuring line's too small. It's limited. It's not effective. I just rebuilt my bathroom in our second story of our house, and do you know how frustrating that would have been to try to do that with a measuring tape that was faulty, that was messed up, that wasn't right? In fact, it happened a lot. My father helped me. He had a measuring tape, and I had a measuring tape, and I bought mine from the dollar section. His is a little bit more expensive, and so every once in a while, you know, the numbers just kind of, they just didn't quite work out, and it just was frustrating. We had to cut again and again, and sometimes in life, we've been trusting this measuring line. Why isn't this working, man? I'm figuring it out. I measured it twice. I cut it once. Maybe Your measure line is limited. Maybe the ending you're trying to figure out isn't the ending God's aiming for. But you have an invitation. In the impossible circumstances of your life, you have an invitation to respond and ask this simple question. Oh God, would you give us the strength and wisdom to be able to ask this question the next time this happens? This week, the next conversation, the next time that you look at your numbers, you try to tackle that debt and it just looks too big. Instead of trying to figure it out and work it out and, okay, here's my measure line. No. Just pause, put down the rope and say, God, how do I make room for you to be seen? For your will to be done. It's good? Good. I want us to wrap this up and respond to God, but can I just want to take a minute to talk about us as a church. Man, let's not miss the opportunity to see the unlimited God. This is not about a third service. This is not about growing a church. This is not about us becoming bigger. This is about a city without walls. This is about a church that's bigger than us. This is about a vision and an ending that God's aiming for. And if I have to be a little uncomfortable with that, I'm okay. Because maybe my measuring line is a little limited. There's 37,000 people within 5 miles of this, where you are sitting right now, who don't go to church anywhere. That's impossible. But maybe it's not for us to figure out and measure out. We have an opportunity, and I believe it with all my heart, we have an opportunity to believe and to make room for God to prove He can do the unimaginable. He can be what Ephesians 3 says, that He can do the unthinkable, what I can't see, what you can't see, if we will only make room for Him to be seen. It's bigger than a love bucket. It's bigger than a mailer. And that conversation with your neighbor or your family member that seems a little impossible, because every time you kind of measure it out and you think about it in your head, you know, well, I'd say this and they'd say that and they think I was kind of crazy, and I'd say, yeah, well, we do have chandeliers and, you know, every time you think about that, would you just put down your rope? Would you put down your measuring line, and would you just ask God, okay, God, how do I make room for you to be seen? What would happen? What would happen if we did that? What would happen if we as a church did that? If we just decided we're going to put down our ropes, we're not going to measure that. We're just going to make room for God to be seen. I believe God could do the unimaginable. And it may not look exactly like how any of us think. It might not look like the cornerstone or whatever experience you have or whatever dream or vision. Our lives may not look like what we think, but I bet you what, if we will make room for Him to be seen, God will come down and He Himself will be a wall of fire surrounding us and a burning fire of glory within. Amen? Amen. Would you stand with me? I want us to just take a moment to respond to the Lord in this word. I want you to just bow your heart, if you would, and just ask the Lord. Just be honest with the Lord. I bet you God's already been speaking to you about measuring lines you use. I know I've got them. All of us could hear that word and hear that warning. Just put down that measuring line. Your history, your experience, your perceptions. But here's the thing. Even if we know it, we still have a choice in how we respond. So would you just ask the Lord, God, what do you want me to lay down this week? What's something today you just want to begin to talk to me about? What's a place, what's an area in my life, where do I need to just be willing to make room for you to be seen? Would you ask Him that question? And if God's speaking to you, would you write that down? Just take out your connection card or take out your phone, type it out on a note. I mean, commit to this. Commit. This is the word of the Lord. Commit to what He's speaking to you. Write down what He's saying. And while you're doing that, I just want to speak to the one who's in this room, and maybe you've never made room for God to be seen in your life. And today you know, you realize, you're ready to make that decision. You're ready to take that step. It doesn't matter if you've been in church all your life or this is your first Sunday. If you want to surrender your life to Jesus to be Lord and leader, I want to help you do that. And I'm not going to call you up front. I'm not going to ask you to come up here in front of everybody. All I'm going to ask is that you just lift your hand and you look at me so I can help you and I can pray with you and that you can begin and make that decision today. If that's you, would you just raise your hand so I can pray? Amen. Awesome. Awesome. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you. Lord, we thank you that you are a God who's come to be with us. Lord, and each of us who've responded to this word, Lord, we just open our hearts to receive from you. Lord, would you come and lead us? Lord, would you come as we make room in our hearts for you to be seen? Would you come and live inside of us? From the person who's making that decision for the first time today to those of us who've been in church a long time, who believed in you with all our hearts, would you come and live inside of us in a new way? Lord, we make room for you to come and be seen. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Let's just commit this word into our hearts by praying together the Lord's Prayer. Would you pray with me? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. May you know the power and the greatness of your unlimited God this week. Make room for him to be seen. We can't wait to see you next Sunday for our three services. God bless you guys.